We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Sir Carlin Navas, and with me today is producer and co-founder, Mr. Brian Gordon.
Howdy, y'all.
You know what's funny? I feel like you were processing what to say.
Yeah. Am I correct? Usually don't know what I want to say. I just say stuff.
Usually you've been going with the woo, and then today you just went with a howdy, y'all, which I think is a new thing.
I mean, we did beat Houston, so.
Okay, there we go. We have our statistician, Professor Photoshopper, back from New Orleans. A night of debauchery with our own Heat Twitter president, Alf, Professor Screw Up, Alex Toledo, and our Photoshopper and anime lover, Brass Jazz. They all went to New Orleans and got hammered. Now he's back and alive. The other ones have not made it. Christian.
Howdy, y'all.
You guys are so lame.
Yeehaw!
And her return to the program, the voice of reason, the first lady herself, King Kate.
Howdy. I guess we're doing howdy.
You guys are so Kate is back from maternity leave. Can we call it maternity leave? Let's call it maternity leave.
We can totally call it maternity leave.
They had a baby, and he's a beautiful, beautiful boy who's giving joy to the world. And is he asleep? Is he in bed?
He was falling asleep when I left him, but he doesn't like to sleep right now. He likes to be awake, so most likely not sleeping.
More awake than James Harden on defense last night. As the Heat,
that's not hard to do.
Destroy the Houston Rockets. They give them a thrashing. They were up by like 40 at one point, right?
41 points was their biggest lead in the second quarter.
Let me tell you something.
I think they got to 40 points multiple times.
Yeah, they got to 40 points in the third quarter as well.
So last night was kind of, I think, cocky Heat fans' comeback. Because, like, you know, the Bucks game was only the second game of the season. And, like, it's like, okay, it's early and whatever. But this Rockets game, the shellacking of Houston was Heat Twitter, Heat fans just preening, peacocking. It felt like we were back.
What do you mean we felt? We are back, baby. Let's go.
This feels like the Canes. You know how the Canes are like always back every like third year? This feels like us. Like, are we back? Are the Heat back? My Christian.
I was hoping Christian would join me there.
Christian, are they back?
I mean, I don't know. It's hard to put too much stock in. Man, who was it? It was a Sreaky Shooter. He tweeted that night. The Rockets are down more than 30 points to the Heat. shout out to the NBA schedule makers for allowing James Harden to spend a Saturday night in Miami. And it really made me think.
It really showed. I gotta be honest with you. Kate's nodding her head. There's a lot to do here on Saturday night.
Yeah, no. I think it's exciting. The start of the season has been super exciting. And this game, I would say, would hold the most weight so far. So I can see why everybody like super pumped. And I want this to be like the direction that we continue to trend. But I wouldn't take it as like, all right, we got the season on lock. We're good. Like, they were out. They were partying and everybody was lagging. And, you know, James Harden doesn't play defense anyway. So on top of everything, it just to me, it's not like.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I love getting jokes in on James Harden. But, I mean, the real joke last night was Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Russ was – dude, he was getting clowned. It was bad. That's
minus
your guy.
42.
That's Kate's guy.
Yo, I've always loved Russ. Like,
she was deflecting. Did you see that? That was expertly done by Kate. She was shifting the blame to Harden and protecting Westbrook.
I can't do it. It's like in my heart. Like, I just can't. I can watch it and I can feel sad about it on the inside, but like the words will not come out of my mouth.
It's like when Lowry chokes, I just can't say it. Like when Lowry's like having a choke job, I can't say it. I was like, oh man, that's unfortunate. It ain't coming out of my mouth.
Exactly.
I feel that. You know what? I'll say this about the Heat. And I know that, you know, I've thought about it a lot, you know, all day. I've been on planes, so I've had a lot of thinking time about what I was going to say today. And while I do think a lot of fans are overreacting because, like, the schedule's been a little light. They've had the Hawks twice, 1.5 games without Trae Young. They've had a Bucks team that was very good that they won in overtime, but also they almost tried to throw up the game all over themselves. Minnesota team that they lost to that's, I think, okay but not great. And then they didn't look good for three quarters against a Memphis team that's meh. Right? So, like, that's all true. But Jimmy Butler has not played that many games, and he hasn't really been scoring the ball well. What did he have, like a 49 true shooting percentage I read today, right? So it's like he's not even firing at like full speed yet, right? So like their best player, the guy who's supposed to take them over the edge, isn't even like himself yet. And I think that that's really encouraging. And they also haven't been healthy. They've had guys in and out of the lineup. James Johnson just came back. Deion's still not back. Who knows if he's even coming back. Jimmy Butler missed some time with the baby stuff. Now Justice is out, DJJ's out. So like they still have been kind of banged up anyway, and they've still been able to put this together. So while I think a lot of what we're seeing, especially on offense, may feel a little bit anomalous, I do think that they're going to be able to maybe sustain some sort of really good play because their best player still hasn't arrived yet in the way that we expect him to.
I think that I mean, it's a fair point and it's all true, but you could also say the same for a lot of other teams in the league right now. Everybody's kind of like getting the wheels moving and there's like been a lot of injuries, a lot of people sitting out, and nobody's really like in full force. So obviously Jimmy Butler's not in full force. I would say the whole team is not in full force, but there's a lot of other teams that are also not in full force. So like maybe give it another month and then, you know, it might look a little more realistic, but you know.
I think a good example of that is the Bucks, how like Brook Lopez has been really horrible to start the year. And I think a lot of people assume that he's kind of going to get that form back because he's really
pretty bad for Team USA. So I don't know. I wouldn't wager your weight on that.
But you know, like the Celtics weren't great for Team USA either. And now they look good. Kemba, I know, started off really rough. So, I mean, honestly, like the only teams that I feel like have played like really well since like just from the start have been the Bucks have been awesome. Other than that one Miami loss, the Raptors have been really good. The Celtics have been really good. And the Sixers have been really good. But Miami's right there with them. And that's encouraging.
Yeah, in the East.
In the East, yeah.
What about in the West? Because I think the Lakers have been pretty good besides the
Lakers have been. The Lakers, honestly, the Lakers' defense has really surprised me. I'm shocked. I don't know how much of that's Dwight. I feel like he helps a lot.
Yeah, do you know that Dwight leads the NBA in plus minus?
He's like shooting 79% from the field. I just read that. I had to like double check. That feels like a typo. Like,
who's the leader for the Heat right now? Plus minus.
Justice sure
better,
Jimmy.
Baby.
No, it's Jimmy.
Yeah,
it's
Jimmy over Justice.
And he didn't even play three games.
Oh well, yeah. Last night really helped, but I think and before coming into the Rockets game, it was Justice Winslow.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and Christian, was it you that tweeted out the stats that like Jimmy and Justice on the floor together, the Heat are just like wrecking teams?
Yeah, but I mean, it's only been like 15 really minutes, small. You know.
Listen, bud. When has that ever stopped us before?
Yeah, it's 15 minutes. Like, I'd say 30 minutes is where you can start messing around with. So 15 minutes is still that's not enough.
Well, he had the best sample size theater doesn't show movies under 30 minutes long.
Christian, is it true or not true that he had the best four-man rotation in NBA right now?
That's true.
Who is that four-man rotation?
Blaise on overall plus minus. It's actually been Kendrick Nunn, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, and Myers Leonard.
That's how amazing. Sustainable is the Myers stuff? Like the Myers stuff in positive lineups.
I think he's been the biggest surprise so far this season.
I feel like he's been bad for half the games and he's been like good for like the other half. It's been what are you going to get?
The Heat have a lower defensive rating with him on the court than off, which I was not expecting to happen at all. So yeah, that probably won't hold up, but like that's gonna be something I'm paying attention to. If he's not a noticeable liability defensively, and right now he was a little bit early on in preseason, but he really hasn't been nearly as bad as I thought.
I think the one game I can recall he was really bad defensively was that game against Minnesota when he was guarding Karl Anthony Towns until he got switched on to
Robert. That's not his fault. That's Karl Anthony Towns being legitimately just a destroyer of worlds.
But that was like his biggest sore game I can remember.
Zach Lowe once called Karl Anthony Towns the most offensively gifted big man in the history of the league.
I mean, you saw that game against the Wolves, right?
Oh yeah, that guy's incredible.
He showed it. He showed that like that same kind of like James Harden, like crazy, like agile step back into a three pointer that is just so natural and is just bottoms up. Like he's that crazy, at 7 foot tall. Like what the fuck is that?
I've gotten to the point with Myers that I'm okay with not starting Kelly, and I'm a big Kelly fan. And you know, ever since he really won me over after the signing, I've been a big Kelly defender. But I'm starting to think that maybe they should kind of ride with Myers, which kind of led me to thinking, and I was kind of tweeting about this today. They have six guys that are bigs that can play, right? So they have Myers Leonard, they have Kelly Olynyk, they have Chris Silva, they have James Johnson, and they have Bam Adebayo, and they have Derrick Jones Jr., right? So those are all guys that can play power forward to center. And that's going to be kind of something to look at going forward, because now that JJ's back and healthy, and he played really well yesterday, that's going to be a lot of questions as to what the hell, how is this minutes distribution going to be? Is it going to be if Myers has it going, he stays in, then who gets out? When Derrick Jones comes back, is he going to have a place? I mean, he'll probably play a lot of small forward, but they have Jimmy there now, and like, you know, and Justice isn't even playing. So like, there's a lot of logjam right now. And I think going forward, probably some guy gets moved. I mean, they did it last season, right? So with the guards, they had a huge logjam at guard, and now it's at forward. So I'm kind of wondering what you guys are thinking about this, because it really stuck out to me, because like JJ played so well that it's like, okay, what are we going to do? They're going to have to send Chris Silva down, and then I don't really know what they're going to do after that.
Yeah, Chris Silva is actually expected to fly with the team tomorrow. He did not practice today, but he is flying with the team for tomorrow's game, so he will be available, and he's already used three of his 45 service days currently.
That's wild. Are they going to use him?
They're probably going to use him. He played the last game, but he played garbage minutes, but I could see him playing more minutes against Denver. They have a bigger lineup compared to Houston.
I mean, they were going a lot of Kelly JJ last night, which I thought was surprising.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I really don't stretches. Know. Because I really like JJ's minutes, and I kind of do want to see him more. I don't know how many minutes he should gain with DJJ coming back and Winslow, but I'm expecting Justice to come back. Apparently, he was close to playing yesterday's game, but they held him out an extra game just so that his lower back stiffness would heal up. So he's had an extra 2 days to recover, so I'm assuming he'll be available for tomorrow's game. I mean, you expect Justice to start. Probably Duncan's minutes would go down.
He's the other guy. It's like, what the hell do you do with him? Like, he's like a plus shooter who's not getting killed on defense.
Yeah, and he had 7 threes in a game yesterday.
You know what I thought was interesting is that, you know, I think maybe we're kind of overlooking Duncan a little bit. Because I was reading this article, this Chris Haynes article that he released today about Jimmy Butler. Oh, yeah. And why and how he viewed the reaction to his free agent decision as disrespect. And obviously, you know, everybody, all the Philadelphia people were like, oh, he went to go retire in Miami. Ha 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 ha. Which is still super lame. But I mean, anyway, I was going through the article and he's talking about how he really connects with the people on this team. And I quote, "Look at the motherfucker Nunn. Look at him. He's got so much of me in him, it's scary because his confidence continues to grow. The same thing with our rook Tyler Hero and Duncan." He went out of his way to mention Duncan right after Tyler Duncan. Hero. And honestly, Duncan's one of the guys I was so surprised with the first preseason game because he was the one who looked so much more different from a body perspective than last season. He's a much bigger player now.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's maybe the guy who's really going to make a leap this season. Maybe he'll end up being most improved player. Who knows?
Are we sure that he just wasn't grouping the white guys together?
I don't know, man. He went 7 of 11 from behind the arc.
Kendrick Nunn is in white.
You know what I meant. Duncan's
white
been
guys. Why?
I honestly don't. I feel like DJJ, I like him, and I think that he's going to really have to shoot the ball well.
Who got that ESPN?
Yeah, I really like DJJ. Oh. Got that ESPN notification. What happened, Chris? Break some news.
Watch live NHL on ESPN Plus. The Coyotes look to remain hot as they travel to Edmonton to face the Oilers.
Wait a second. ESPN got hockey? When did this happen?
Yeah, this
is the worst notification ever.
Hold on. Wait a second. I think the breaking news here is that ESPN got hockey. Did anybody know this?
I don't pay attention to hockey.
Kate, watches you know hockey.
No. Kate, what is hockey? You've been around the world.
Is that the thing where you skip class for a day?
That was such a bad joke. I hate you.
Breaking news. Sources say someone has been stabbed to death over a Popeye's chicken sandwich at the Popeye's in Oxon Hill, Maryland.
Oh, man.
Has anybody had that? I haven't had a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
I had it right before they took it away, 2 days before they took it away. It was very good. I would have it again.
Kate, have you had it?
Would you kill someone for it?
Stab someone to death.
I don't think I could kill someone over a sandwich.
I mean, you never know. Apparently somebody thinks that, so it must be pretty good. I haven't had it, okay. So I can't speak on it, but...
Better than a pub sub, Chris. Better than a chicken tender pub sub.
Yes.
Whoa.
Wait, what?
What?
That's a bold statement.
That's the hottest take that's going to be said today.
Look, the chicken tender pub sub is very good, but yes.
Duncan Robinson loves some chicken tender pub sub.
Duncan does. Brian did journalism and found that out. It's his favorite pub sub. I do. They have too many guys. We're here. They have too many guys, which is a good thing. And I think Spo likes that because he can be super versatile. But I really want to do the show where I say they're ready to contend. Look how good they are, this and that. But I need to see more. This road trip's going to be really telling. They have Denver coming up, which is going to be... At least they don't have Denver on the second night of a back-to-back. Can we be happy about that?
Yeah, they have the Lakers on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah. Yeah, they play 3 games in 4 nights. So they play at Denver, at Phoenix, and at LA.
If they go 2-2, you're taking that, right?
No, it's 3 games.
No, they're going 4-0.
How many games? They're winning three games.
They don't even have three to play. Games. They're going 4-0.
There's 3 games, though.
I know. They're going 4-0.
If they go 1-2, are you upset?
Yes.
No, I'm not going to be upset.
I would be. I think they're going to go 2-1, and I feel like that loss is going to be against Phoenix.
That'd be so Miami. Kate's laughing because it's so true.
Hey, Phoenix looks good. You guys are laughing, but
they're
pesky. Look good.
They're feisty.
They do look good.
Tyler Johnson, man.
Oh my God, Tyler Johnson revenge game. Have they played the Suns since?
No, they have not. That's funny. Look at it.
Phoenix is a 6 seed right now. Okay, Phoenix is ahead of Utah, Houston, and Portland.
Last I saw, they were one of the only teams in the NBA with a top 10 offense and defensive rating.
Miami too, though.
Well, now Miami after this past game.
Miami's a 1 seed right now, man. 2 seed right now. Over the Raptors and the Bucks. Yeah. NBA championship. Raptors.
Oh, we got 76ers Suns tonight. Game to watch.
Yes.
That's in Phoenix. They're pesky, man.
Yes.
In Phoenix. Okay. I do want to talk a little bit about Justice coming back, because him and Jimmy, to Christian's point earlier, haven't played a lot yet. And we don't have a lot of data. We have a 15-minute sample. It's very good. But not, they've both kind of struggled to score the ball when they're on the floor with each other. And that's been a little concerning to me. I do think that they'll figure that out. And I do think that Justice has not shot the ball well. He's done everything else incredible, though. And I just, again, like, there's so many moving parts to this team. It's like, are Justice and Jimmy going to kind of find their offensive group scoring the ball in terms of efficiency? How real is Kendrick's dumb play? Because he's been incredible. Not have a good game last time. Was in foul trouble. And I happen to think that, like, his shooting is probably the most valuable thing he brings to them. Because him being a plus shooter has really changed the dynamic of how they can play in a way that I don't think any of us really accounted for. Like, they have a guy who can shoot the ball, attack a closeout, and not get burned on defense. Like, what?
He's like that, Mario Chalmers, but better.
Like, I don't think any of us, I think people knew that he had the ball skills and the kind of getting to the rim stuff and the athleticism, but, like, I don't think anybody had him as a shooter, which has completely changed their spacing. And, like, they're number 9 in offense, right?
I don't know. According to, I think, NBA stats, they are, but was it Spectrum? Like, what do you call it?
No, but the NBA.com stats is the one that calculates offensive efficiency the correct way. So,
there is no correct way to make a statistic.
The
Gianni.
the standard industry standard would dictate that it's that.
Sure.
I don't know, guys. Like, I. Making fun of me.
It's the league's website. So
who the hell uses the basketball
they are
reference?
Establishing the industry because
Chris,
they are
Chris,
the.
Hold
industry.
On, wait a second. If someone comes out using the basketball reference, offensive efficiency,
I guess that wouldn't be the industry standard because I don't think basketball reference is run by the NBA.
Okay, but like, they calculate it weird, and I don't like it. Like, the basketball reference one's not good, and the NBA.com stats one is good.
Okay, whatever. I mean, it's just different ways of calculating, but whatever. Yes, good and bad. Okay.
There's a correct way, not a correct way.
Okay. Let me see. I hadn't really looked at it there.
This is the Heat are ninth in offensive rating, fourth in defensive rating, and according to Synergy, they have them at seventh in offensive rating and fourth in defensive rating. I saved you a click.
Thank you very much. Jimmy's been, Chris, I know that you've been tweeting about, like, making Jimmy's case for Depoy, which he's been incredible. I mean, his hands have been legit. And Dave,
has the freakiest hands. And now that I'm watching it full time, I'm, like, really paying attention to it. His, like, instincts to just know exactly when to swipe and just, like, hit a ball with, like, the top of his hand is ridiculous.
It's fundamentals.
It's ridiculous. I don't know if he's just on a hot streak and like if he's going to be able to keep that up.
He's not going to average four steals.
That would be wild.
4.2 steals. Give him that 0.2.
I'm sorry. Excuse me. The 4.2 steals. I mean, they have so many guys that are just doing so many. Like, Jimmy's doing literally everything on the court except for scoring efficiently. Bam is a 5-assist-a-game passer, which is like, what the hell? Who the hell saw that coming?
A lot of people, Gianni. Just not you.
Just not me.
He was averaging like 4 last season.
He wasn't
like,
averaging
per 36 minutes. Now he's
per 36 minutes, yeah, per he was having a lot of his minutes eaten by a certain individual.
That certain individual has never had a 5-assist game. Bam is averaging that. Jokic last year was at 7 assists. So Bam's not quite there yet, but he's on the Jokic trajectory. Jokic went from 2.4 to 4.9 to 6.1 to 7.3. How real is the Bam most improved train gonna be?
I mean, just because he's gonna be, I mean, he might mess around and be like a top 20 player this season, like in terms of like stat production. And so obviously that is gonna, you know, I mean, I know a lot of you guys play like fantasy basketball, so like I feel like a lot of like the popularity of younger players comes from how well they do in fantasy and how much that gets people off. So
I mean,
you know,
I feel like he's a good fantasy player, but like not.
I feel like this, he must be having his fantasy breakout season, right?
No, yeah. I think what you really like in a fantasy perspective is the 1.7 steals, the 1.7 blocks, 1.3 steals, and the free throws. The rest, it's like whatever production for a starting center, like 14 and 9. You're just like, eh, like I, you know, Robin Lopez can give me that, you know, on a good day, but it's the steals, the blocks, the assists from that position, the free throws. Like, he's really put his game together. Like, I and I've said before that I've always had questions about him being like a legit scoring op, like a legit scoring threat that can create on his own. But he's just like the passing in that Houston game. I mean, he's leading a break looking for guys, right? Like, he's getting the rebound and he's bringing the ball up the floor and he's trying to find Kendrick Nunn. He's trying to find where Jimmy Butler is. Like, he's looking to pass. And then when he has the lane, he takes it in. Like, I don't know. I know that. I guess I missed the boat. I just did not see this kind of development that quickly from him as an offensive player, like doing stuff like that. I just didn't have that.
So now that you do see him doing this stuff, how do you feel about it?
I mean, I still like if I know that the big thing with me was I would always say like if you can get a star for him, you move him. And I don't know if I legit feel too differently about that, but if that passing is real. Like, if this is legit, like, if we're legit talking about Bam's going to be a 5 or 6 assist a game guy, like, you're looking at, like, all-time special territory for this guy as a big man passer. And especially in this, with what he does defensively, like, yeah, you know.
Welcome to the party, Gianni.
How was I so late to this? Why am I always late to these parties?
I saw this in his first summer league game. Like, young players are always going to be rough around the edges, but it's the flashes that you look for, because if you can capture those flashes and repeat it enough, they start doing it all the time. Like Giannis just started to double leap from the 3-point line to the rim and dunking on everyone. Like, it's just like, just takes a little molding.
Kate, are you a big Bam person?
I've always been a big Bam person. I was freaking Bam. You know, I was freaking Bam over Hassan for the longest time. And all he needed was this window to open up. But you know what? I will say that I think that it was good that he played behind Hassan a lot, because he did have development time instead of just throwing him into the fire. But now that he has the range to do what he needs to do, I wanted it to happen. I'm not going to say I knew it was going to happen.
Say you knew. Say you knew.
Yeah, I knew it.
Say it, Kate. There we go.
I knew Bam Adebayo was going to be special. You guys didn't.
What about Tyler Herro? How'd you feel about Tyler Herro?
Nah, man, none of.
Wait, me?
Yes. Be honest.
I wasn't expecting.
Neither were we. Very famous.
It was the T-Rex arms, wasn't it?
Yeah. I mean, like, I gave him a little bit of points because, like, you know, he dresses nice, and I'm like, okay, he's got swag, so like, he should be all right. But I wasn't expecting too much, so that's a pleasant surprise.
The holidays are almost here, and you know what that means. Gifts! And what better gift to give than the guy in your life than a stylish shirt that fits just right? Unlike most brands, Untucked shirts are actually designed to be worn untucked. Untucked shirts always fall at just the right length, no matter his size, so he looks casual and sharp. With more than 50 plus fit combinations, Untucked shirts look great on tall, short, slim, athletic guys of all ages. I'm a big guy, I have broad shoulders, and I always have a problem finding shirts that are the right arm length and the right shoulder width. It's a big thing, but Untucked fits me perfectly. It gets my frame just right, I feel good, I feel form-fitting, it's incredible. The material, the designs, the color options, all so many for me and all kinds of styles living in Miami. You know, we gotta have the flavor, but sometimes we gotta be a little more business casual. So Untucked has a little bit for everyone. So whether you're shopping for the perfect holiday gift or just trying to craft a smart, relaxed style of your own, Untucked is the way to go. Visit Untucked.com and use promo code BLUE for 20% off checkout. That's Untucked.com and promo code BLUE for 20% off. Following a team you love in 2019 can be time-consuming. Trying to follow everything happening in sports is almost impossible. Scrolling through every app and visiting every website on a daily basis is impossible. And that's why I subscribe to Axios Sports, the best free daily newsletter in the land. Axios Sports is a modern sports page delivered directly to your email inbox. When you sign up for free at sports.axios.com, you'll get the best stories from the NBA and NFL to cricket and ping pong and everything in between. Axios Sports also highlights the most important stats and trends, giving you the ability to stay informed. It's super simple to sign up, and it's free. sports.axios.com. Not only will you be caught up, you'll be the friend sharing an amazing link with your buddies. Join the 100,000 sports fans who get caught up on the day before it even begins. And best of all, there is no paywall, no subscription fee, nothing. This is free curated sports content delivered directly to you. Sign up at sports.axios.com. Again, try for free. Free 99, all caps, at sports.axios.com. Where do you rank him on your power rankings of player fashion? Like, even as a rookie, does he break into top 20?
No, he has to have at least half a season before I can even put him on the list.
Okay, so we
that's fair, yeah.
Yeah, he's got to prove himself, and then we'll talk about it.
What do you think he could debut at? What's a realistic debut? Is he like at the 20 spot, the 20 best dressed?
Are we looking at like current players?
Current players, yes, active. So Dwayne Wade does not count, for example.
Okay, well, he would be pretty on the list, but there's a lot of sneaky stylish dudes in the NBA. So I'm gonna say he's gonna come under top 20, but he might make top 25. Damn,
who is the sneakiestly fashionable dude that you are aware of?
I have a nominee.
Who's your nominee?
Wayne Ellington.
What are you
doing to poor Wayne?
No,
we're talking about, like, come on, like guys that really do it, like they really go hard in the fashion game. Like, he dresses nice, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't wear things that catch your attention, like Kelly Oubre
is a good one. Kelly Oubre
is like, he is up there.
Let me see.
Does Kelly Oubre dress better than he plays? I think so.
Yeah. I haven't seen him this season. I don't know. I can't speak on him this season.
I think Kelly Oubre falls into the category of maybe he dresses better than he plays. And he's not a bad player.
Actually, Kelly Oubre is a big reason why the Suns are playing so well.
No. He's been awesome.
That's what everybody's saying. That I can't speak on him this season. In the past, I would say.
I just Googled Kelly Oubre outfits, and I totally see what you mean.
Right.
It's one of those guys
that you always got to pay attention to what he's wearing.
Look at that. We're learning. Oh, you're right, Kate. Look at this.
This is how we learn. You thought I was lying.
We're learning.
Oh, man, he has this all purple outfit. It's not bad.
Kate, could you help me with something for my wedding?
Oh, I got you.
Ryan's soliciting.
I need some really nice wedding dress shoes, and I don't know which ones to go for. I was thinking of rocking some Chelsea boots from All Saints.
That's what I put my husband in for our wedding.
But then I was also looking at some Salvatore Ferragamo loafers.
What the hell are these things? What are these things?
Oh, you got to have a pair of Ferragamos, man. Like,
what's a Ferragamo? Is that a play? Does that involve a back screen?
Gianni, you need like a crash course. Like, we got to catch you up to like the basic level.
Is this something that Spo says out of timeout?
Are you telling me you're not showing up to a fancy cocktail party in anything but Salvatore Ferragamos?
I may wear some slacks and like a Calvin Klein shirt. I don't know.
Hey, you're my best man. I expect you to wear some Ferragamos too.
Do we not wear slacks anymore, Kate? Are slacks not a thing?
You better not be wearing pleated pants, that's for sure.
Yeah,
it has to be
no,
tight.
I
can't wear what, Brian?
Pleated pants.
What is that?
So, you know, like those little lines that you see on people's pants that make them look really, really like just large for no reason?
I think Kelly Oubre is wearing them in one of these pictures.
No way. There's no chance.
There's no chance.
That's been so out of style since like at least the
maybe Kelly Oubre is trying to bring it back, dude.
No, but they might be tapered. Are they tied at
the
ankle? Oh,
yeah. If they're tapered, then they're all right. But still, right. I wouldn't rock with pleated pants.
Yeah, you got to be like, yeah. You gotta have some swag to pull it off, but it's okay. I'll dress Gianni for your wedding, also, you don't gotta worry about it.
Kate, do you think it's funny when like guys wear these outfits after like a loss? Like if Westbrook comes to the podium after like they get shellacked like that, like it's a little funny, right?
I mean, yeah, sometimes it is, especially Westbrook because his outfits are always like super wild and he's like full camo, or like when he wore like the photographer like. Or bright orange overcoat, you know, and then you got to go to the podium like that. But you know what? He loves it, so he doesn't care if you win or lose. Like, he knows he looks good, so he owns it. But like,
I mean, when you're minus 46 and 3 for 11, like, you just wear your sweats. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, just keep your uniform on, dude. Don't go anywhere.
Like, exactly. Or just next question, everybody. Like, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So,
you're right.
Kate, next question. If I wear these loafers for
Brian,
this wedding,
don't solicit. You can do this after the damn show. Stop soliciting Kate for help during a basketball podcast.
Do you wear socks or no? I mean, obviously you're going to wear socks, but do you wear those like no-show socks or do you wear actual like dress socks?
Well, it depends on what you're wearing.
I'm saying loafers. Like, we're talking about the Ferragamo.
What's thing. More no-show, James Harden yeah. or the socks?
Damn it, Gianni.
I'm in on James Harden.
Oh, my God. Don't wear socks, Brian. Don't wear socks. Just the no-show socks. You're good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God, Brian. You're the worst.
Honestly, I thought this was very fun. I feel like we can have a very good NBA podcast that also gives people some tips on style with Kate. I think that's what people
I think it's
want.
Important. It is important.
People
that's
don't
want I'm to saying.
Talk about it. It's very taboo.
Okay, no. Kate, what is the most underutilized, that should be utilized more, accessory on men?
The Spain pick and roll.
Kiani, do you really hate us so much that we can't talk fashion for like 2 minutes?
Inverted horns. Go, I'm giving you the floor.
No, the most underutilized. I think. Yeah, have you seen Jordan Clarkson in his scarves, his head scarves?
Jordan Clarkson wears a what?
Clarkson head scarf.
Why is Jordan Clarkson wearing a head scarf?
He wears a head scarf.
I can't pull off a head scarf.
Well, yes, you can. You can pull off anything with confidence.
I can't
too.
Find it. You said Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find
the first result for Jordan Clarkson headscarf is funny. It's not even Jordan Clarkson. Are you sure this is there?
I found a search result for Jeremy Clarkson, the guy from the driving show. What's it called? The British guys. You know the one.
Oh, top something. Top
Gear. Top Shelf. Or
no, it's Top Gear.
Top Gear. Yeah.
I have no idea what that is, but I'll find it for you and I'll send it over because I know I saw this. It was like 2 days ago.
So you're advocating for the headscarf.
I'm advocating for people that can try and pull it off and make
underutilized,
it look good.
Underutilized, G.
Yeah.
Most underutilized.
I think things like that, if you can pull that off and you have the confidence to make it look good, then you should definitely do it.
I have a question. If you're planning post-game to wear the headscarf and you're going to debut this, it can't be after a 30-point loss to the Heat, right?
Absolutely not.
It can't be. It needs to be a win. You cannot.
You take it up. Yeah.
You can't, right? Like, you have it, and then you leave it in your locker, and you're just like, I'm not, today's not the day.
Yeah, no.
Or do you just ride with it? Or you're just like, I was committed to this. I really wanted to wear this, therefore I'm wearing this.
I mean, you wear it. They wear it. The thing is, they wear it to the game. So people see it anyways. So you might as well just wear it in the post.
So like if you come in, that's fine. Like you can wear it coming in. But not leaving. Not leaving. I see that.
I'm putting in the chat.
All right. Yeah, I was like, we have technology. Kate is holding up her phone, like this glary phone to the webcam.
We'll tweet it out too.
Guys, I'm a mom, okay?
You've reached peak mom. Any other fashion questions for Kate before we move on to...
All right. Well, how do you feel about three-piece or two-piece buttons on blazers or suits?
Two.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, three is... I mean, all come right. on. We're not in the 80s, Brian. Look at that. Kate and I agree. We agree on a take.
I agree, too.
I'm trying to second guess my take now that Johnny agreed with me. So.
Brian, how do you feel about the Heat switching a lot on defense?
I feel like it could be better with Winslow.
There you go. Good take. Chris, do you like it?
Yeah, just as better.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they've gone to that. I'm surprised that they've incorporated more switching when Spoelstra has been pretty. Last couple of years, he's been pretty steady with the drop zone defensive coverages, and now they're switching a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that's right. You know what I find super hilarious? That apparently, according to Anthony Chiang, they had Dion Waiters doing workouts during the game last night, even though he was supposedly active. And honestly, that just cracks me up. Like, where do they have him?
Where are they hiding Dion Waiters?
Where are they hiding Dion Waiters? And I just got, like, reminded of that because I just saw that Ira Winderman an hour ago tweeted, Spoelstra says Dion Waiters will be on the bench and active Tuesday. I wonder if they're going to have him with, like, 20-pound dumbbells just doing shoulder press the entire game.
Like, so... Is Deion traveling with them?
Yeah,
I would assume if he's going to be on the bench, that'd be great.
Oh, you think they put him on a separate flight?
The AAA.
They have a live feed, and he's just there. We're doing shoulder presses.
Wait, wasn't this a whole thing in the off season? Wasn't this a big deal that he was like fit, getting in shape, and he was like, oh, the haters, everybody doubted me, and I'm getting to get, you know, wasn't this a thing? And yeah, now he's fat again?
Yeah, it wasn't about his shape. He passed the conditioning. He was able to practice during
James
training
Johnson
camp.
James Johnson was the one that was
apparently out of shape.
Allegedly.
I mean, he looks great now. He's lean machine.
He looked great at Media Day. Our reporters on the ground, Alf and Alex, said that he looked great. So, I mean, Alf, obviously the epitome of fitness, said that JJ looked good. So I'm taking Alf's word for it.
Wait, so Deion doesn't look. How do you lose all that weight and gain it back so fast?
I don't think he gained the weight.
No, he does look good.
No, he's not playing because he wanted to start, and they're like, no, you're not starting.
Well, he got suspended because he called out Coach Spo on the bench against the Rockets during their preseason game, and then like shortly after, he had a whole social media tirade, and then he got suspended. Well,
let
it was
me tell
supposed
you
to be a game, but he was basically out for at least four games indefinitely because he was away from the team.
Listen, Deion did what we all want to do. He subtweeted his boss on Instagram and got in trouble for it. Okay? Like, I think we all have been Deion. We all call our bosses names. We all say that we deserve stuff that we really don't. And he got in trouble for it. And honestly, like, I respect that.
Like, I never understand when athletes do this, because it's like, do they not know it's public? Like, I mean, I don't, like...
When you subtweet someone, don't you almost want... You do it because you want them to see it.
No,
but
like,
you want
them
to see it.
You're overtly responding to something, like, in a way where it's clear what your intention is. And you know that what you're typing is visible to other people on social media. It's just like, you know the attention on yourself as, you know, an athlete in the biggest league in the world.
Yeah, but you do it because, like, you know... Not that we're athletes and we have eyes on us, but like when you subtweet someone, you want them to see it. So you do it.
But then you
it's,
also
it's, okay,
wanted
no,
to...
No, Gianni, but you're not using subtweet correctly. Like a subtweet is when you tweet about someone and it's not clear in any way
it's
who
cryptic.
You're talking about.
Yeah, there's some crypticness. Yeah.
It was very clear what he was talking about, and that's the problem.
Bad at it. He's bad at it, like he's not really good at basketball sometimes.
Most of the time.
I like Deion. No, hold on. I like Deion. I think Deion's a good player. I think Deion can help this team. I'm pro Deion Waiters.
He's not
from the bench.
There's no way he's going to get minutes on his team, guys.
I mean, it's just...
He's better than Duncan. Look, he's better than Duncan.
No, he's not. Get the fuck out of here.
Come on, man.
When was the last time Deion Waiters had 7 threes in a game? Look up those stats for me.
Maybe it's Warriors.
I can do that.
I mean, like, I think as a backup guard, he can help. I mean, he's a guy that can handle the ball.
You're talking about Deion Waiters still?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I thought we had already moved on.
I mean, because Duncan, you could play at the three, kind of, right? So you can kind of, like, slide him in.
Well, no, Duncan is a three. Like,
I mean, they're playing.
I don't think he could be anything else.
Duncan
could
be whatever he wants to be, guys.
He looks big, man. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's a bigger guy.
I love me some Duncan.
So I have not found a Deion Waiters 7-3-pointer game in the last 3 years.
Because it does not exist.
It's probably never happened.
Yeah, you're not going to find it.
Listen, I'm pro Deion, dude. I want him to be on the team. I'm sure that they're going to try to move him. I saw Ethan from 5 Reasons throw out something like a Marvin Williams for DJJ and Deion. I don't really know how that money works out.
Doesn't work in the salary cap, no.
Yeah, they're hard cap. But like,
we'd be going $3 million over to pay for Marvin Williams. So
yeah,
it's not work. It does not work.
Some sort of Marvin Deion swap. I don't really know, like, because they're hard capped, I kind of feel like a trade is a little difficult for them.
Just have to match salaries.
I don't know. Why trade anything? Like, this team has no visible hole right now.
Chris,
presents itself, why are you going to trade anybody?
You've been pretty loud and you say, don't touch this team.
Not yet. The second that the league finds a hole in it, and exploits it and this, they start to lose some games because of it, I'll start to think that they need to do something. But what is their obvious need right now?
They got shooting. Maybe just the turnovers. So maybe if they had a better point guard.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. Like, if you want to, the rationale that I do understand is, like, you have a lot of talent all of a sudden, and you're eventually not going to be able to pay them all. So at some point, maybe you try to use three or four of them and swing for a big, big fish, you know? But, yeah, I wouldn't touch it otherwise. I mean, you have so much young talent on the team that just seems to be finding itself around a real leader.
I'm waiting for Giannis 2021, guys.
I kind of saw a report that he was interested in the Raptors. Did you guys see that?
What? No.
I saw that over the weekend.
Was it like from a legitimate source? Or?
I saw it on Instagram, so okay. Probably not. Okay. There was a jersey swap involved, and I was like, man, Giannis looks nice in a Raptors jersey.
When was the last time the Raptors ever signed a major free agent?
Does re-signing Kyle Lowry count?
No.
Okay, Raptors Nation rumor: Toronto plans to make a run for Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Raptors Nation, is that really the account?
I just Twitter searched Giannis Raptors.
But that says that the Raptors plan to pursue him.
We're wasting too much time on this, guys.
I mean, we're doing the Miami Heat beat podcast.
I'm just saying, you guys brought up Giannis, and I saw.
No one brought up the Raptors, G. Nobody.
Okay, John Hollinger. Sources say Raptors will pursue Giannis in 2021. So we
that doesn't say Giannis is interested.
It's just John Hollinger saying that they're going to try.
Well, everybody.
And John Hollinger's credible. I mean, he worked for the Memphis Grizzlies.
George Sedano and Ethan Skolnick seem to think that Giannis and Miami may be an actual thing, especially since Bam and Giannis share the same agent and are very close friends.
They're boys. They're close. They're buds. And Leif has told us about this.
Yeah, no, wasn't I think Bam's worn Giannis' shoes multiple times in the last few years.
Yes, he has.
During games.
Could you imagine them on defense together?
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
I mean, Bam and Jimmy defensively is everything that we've dreamed of.
Could you imagine Bam, Jimmy, Justice, and Giannis as your starting four? Like, who the hell's scoring on them?
So, what if I told you that Giannis and Bam are just, like, Super Saiyan versions of Jordan and Pippen?
I believe you.
Like, on defense? Hell yeah, I believe you.
I believe you, like...
Yeah, no, and not in the sense that they need to be, like, good shooters or anything, that they are just going to assault you with athleticism.
Do you guys think that the organization was ready for them to be so ahead of schedule?
Yes.
Because, like, I think that the national media especially has been really taken aback. It's like, whoa. Like, people, like, they're turning ears. Like, now that people are talking, it's like, Miami, what?
Yeah.
Last night, Miami's doing what? Like, Jimmy Butler did what? Like, he's not even playing that well. Look what he's doing. Like, the stat lines are stuff. Like, Bam is doing what? Like, Kendrick Nunn, who? Like, they're a little bit ahead of schedule, I feel. I mean,
do you know what's wild? I was just looking at this right now. You know what percentage of the Heat's offense this season has been run through Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero?
I'd probably say 30%.
30%.
Damn, I nailed it.
They are the two leaders in possessions on the team. Think about that.
Do I get something? That was good by me.
That was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's like 29.5, but I'm going to give you the 30.
Thank you. Like, rounding up. Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible. And debatably, the three guys that people look at as the most complete players on the team are, you know, Bam, Justice, and Jimmy. They are fourth, fifth, and sixth in possessions on the team. So it's the young guards and Goran that are really carrying the offense. But honestly, to me, this team is really built more around defense, and this hot shooting is cool. And this, you know, increased pace, you know, that they're playing much faster than they were last season is obviously much more fun to watch. You love seeing your team score 120 points a game on a semi-regular basis. But if that defense is as real as it looks, that's a contender.
So I have a question. Is this defense peaking? Like, is this as good as they're going to be, or do you think they have another level to go to?
This defense? Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you haven't even seen Winslow play that many minutes with Jimmy on the court, and you haven't even gotten DJJ back still. So if you add those two guys, I mean, I can only imagine it gets much better from here, guys. You added James Johnson just yesterday. You're adding three-plus premier perimeter defenders.
We have to look at their matchups in the East and who they're going to have to play, right? So, like, I think that for sure the East is going to have to go through either Milwaukee or Philadelphia, and then you're going to have a second-round matchup with either them, the Raptors, or the Celtics, right? So, like, that's kind of, like, the group that you're looking at. So if you're Miami, you're, like, we need to get in that third spot. We need to get in that fourth spot. We need to vault one of the Raptors or the Celtics. And then those are kind of the matchups that we're going to look at playing against. And you're going to have to be, okay, what do they have against these super huge Philly lineups? We know what they could do against the Bucks. And I actually think that's probably the matchup they oddly want the most.
Yeah.
Like, out of those two teams, I think that they take the Bucks. And then I think that the Celtic team is going to be a team that they match up well against, because they're going to have a lot of different defenders to throw at all those Celtic wings. Because, like, they have a bunch of guys that can guard, like, two through four, right? So I don't even think that's going to be an issue.
Yeah. And even if Boston plays small, which they will, you have the personnel to play small.
I think Miami would prefer that. I think Miami can play big, but I think in a series against a team like Boston, I think they'd want to go to one big. And if they go Kelly Bam, Kelly can absolutely play against those smaller lineups as he has, like, his entire tenure here. So,
which, by the way, that was something weird from yesterday's game. They had Harden on Bam, like, most of the night.
You're saying that Houston had
Harden.
Bam
on defense,
also defended.
On Bam.
Bam also defended Harden.
Yeah, but still, I found that very strange.
I kind of get it, because Harden's a really good post up defender, and if you're gonna live with Bam post ups, like, if Bam's gonna post up every possession, I think if you're Houston, you take that. Right, so you're kind of trying to bait them into kind of mucking up their offense by having a guy who's not really a post up big posting up a guy who's really strong lower body, pushed a guy off a block. I know last season James was one of the best post defenders in the league, so it makes sense. And I would probably would have done that too. And I think that's kind of on Bam to kind of maybe kind of make his face up game a little stronger. Don't put a guard on me. I'm not gonna let you put a guard on me. I'm gonna post you up. I'm gonna face you up in that mid block. Like, I'm not gonna let that happen. And you're gonna be able to exploit a lot of mismatches on that. And also, there's gonna be a big guy on a guard. So Jimmy or Kendrick Nunn are gonna be able to go to work on a bigger guy if they can kind of fling the ball around. So I like that for them. I like them exploiting those matchups. But I get why Houston did it. They're good guys. Like, we're looking at these matchups, like, I really want to see them play Philly. I really want to see how they look.
When's that next that game? I think is this month. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's at the end of the month. You can look that up while we talk this out. But, like, Christian, like, I don't really know. Like, Miami's kind of in a very unique spot that they can go big because of their versatility with their bigs. They can go big or they can go small.
Oh, they play Philadelphia 2 days before my birthday on the 23rd.
Woo! Happy early birthday.
Yeah, no, I'm going to get my birthday to gift for my birthday when we feast on the Charlotte Hornets at home. I wouldn't touch this team until we actually see a real weakness. Like, the big men look, I'd say they look better than we thought. I mean, we're barely even using Kelly.
But what I'm saying is, like, are you going to go at Philly big, or are you going to try to get them to go smaller?
No, just, I mean,
throw Myers and Bam out there and...
I mean, it honestly, it depends on how the game goes. If you're playing well enough, you're going to dictate the terms, and they'll have to adjust to you.
I can kind of see that being a series where they could start JJ, and you could kind of put JJ on Al Horford, because I think he has a body type to kind of not let Al do too much. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of have Bam on Embiid, and then you kind of have help all around and with Justice in the backcourt. Like, you can go pretty big with Jimmy and Bam in the backcourt and DJJ at the You know, it's like, you have creative.
I mean, the way those two teams are playing, though, those games are going to be played entirely in transition, because they are I think they're still the two worst turnover teams in the league. You know, and you got a bunch of really great defenders on each team. There's going to be like 40 steals in the game, probably, which should make it fun.
I really want that series.
Can you imagine Jimmy Butler playing against Philly this year in the playoffs? Like,
Miami has revenge game? the Heat players don't like there's a Jay Rich.
Justice wants his revenge game, man. He's coming from Ben Simmons' ass.
A lot of those guys are still there. Goron's still there. Like, hey, do you remember that series? That was a fun ass, hard hating series.
Yeah, no, it was fun. But I feel like anybody who plays against Philly at this point is like there's a lot of hating going on because Joel Embiid just like always starts shit with everybody.
Oh yeah, that fight from last week was fun.
That was incredible.
It was awesome. And then Ben Simmons with Cat in a headlock on the floor.
Yeah. Peacemaker
like,
Ben
no
Simmons.
Suspension, nothing like what? Okay.
Peacemaker. Did you guys see NBA Desktop their coverage of the fight?
Yes.
No.
Oh man, it was really funny. And Jason Concepcion pointed out that the Minnesota coaches outran Andrew Wiggins to the brawl. Andrew Wiggins was very briskly jogging.
I mean, I don't blame him for not wanting to get mixed up in other people's shit. Like that's how people like get rolled on top of. Like,
those are big men.
Ankle,
not
like,
Ben Simmons
yeah.
though. Ben Simmons
no,
was ready.
No thanks. I'm trying to protect me.
Al Horford was standing like kind of away from it with his hands on his hips saying I'm very
plus,
disappointed
man, like these days these NBA fights it's like play fighting they're like wrestling you know they're
I
like
I mean Cat got
know.
Him in a headlock was that play
was
fighting
like, that was one of the most intense NBA fights I've seen in like a hot minute I feel like.
There was people
like
on the
they
floor.
Really got into it like and Ben Simmons really was rolling on the floor with Cat in a headlock
like,
no,
he definitely had him in a, like I know a headlock when I see one that was a headlock yeah. like
Embiid tried poking Cat in the eye
I saw that. That was yeah. Indeed, right?
I feel like Kat really wanted to fight. Yeah, I feel Kat was ready to fight.
I feel like if they would have let the two of them go at it and beat in Kat, then yeah, they definitely would have fought. But people get involved and they can't get to each other. You never know.
Ibaka's always ready to fight. Ibaka always wants to fight. I like guys who are ready to fight. We need more fight. I'm in the position that we need more fights in the NBA.
I thought you meant we need more fighters on the Heat. Listen, here pretty good. We got James Johnson, UD still.
Chris Silva needs to be trained in the art of the
He
enforcer.
Probably could fight if he wanted to.
Chris Silva looks like too nice a kid. He looks like a nice guy. He needs a little bit of mean mug in him.
I'm still not forgetting that image of him like holding on the ball for dear life. That was so funny.
This culture, man. This season... The 30-11 season, I feel, was just like where the idea of culture was born and propagated. This is gonna be the year it takes off. Like culture's back.
I think I saw was it ESPN? I can't remember where it was, but I think the Heat are currently on pace to win 58 games according to one of these.
I mean, they're not gonna win
projected
not, you know.
Stat places.
I mean, it's probably basing it on their win margin, which is one way to calculate like future wins. So, yeah, that's
if this team possible. Wins 55 or more games, holy shit!
I mean, think the goal should be 50.
If they keep playing like this,
the goal should be 50.
Sure, why not?
The goal should 100. Like with the way that they've started and the expectations that they're going to put on themselves, the goal should be 50 wins.
How many wins do you need to be a 2 seed in the East?
I think you're going to need 55. I think both the Bucks and the Sixers are going to win up north of 55 games. So, and I know the East is more competitive this year, but I don't think looking at them getting the 2 seed is going to be realistic. I know that they're going to have offensive droughts where they're not shooting the ball well. Guys are going to miss time. It always happens, you know. If you know, 50 wins is a really good mark. And look at Brooklyn. Look at what Brooklyn was able to do last season. Brooklyn was able to have a really nice season. They played really well. They were an upper 40s win team.
They won 42 games.
They won they were a 500 team. They won 40 games. They won 42 games. They looked really competitive in a nice market. They played hard. They had a good playoff series, and they attracted two damn stars. Miami's going to have cap space.
And they're still below 500.
Well, one of those stars who is the second best player in the world is not playing basketball right now, so... That doesn't help.
They replaced D'Angelo Russell with Kyrie Irving. They still suck.
But they also got rid of all their other guys to make room for Durant. So the Durant part kind of matters.
No, they didn't. They still kept them all. They just
traded D'Angelo
Russell.
All the role guys are gone.
All the role guys are still on that team.
No, the Ed Davis is those guys. Not Dinwiddie, LeVert.
Ed Davis? Dinwiddie's still on the team.
I'm saying
Joe
that
Harris.
The other guys, not the
they were
able
to trade
Caris
LeVert for an actual shooting wing that they could use in Torian Prince.
Torian Prince has not been good though.
shooting over 40% from three on like five attempts. Brooklyn, do you watch any NBA besides the Heat?
And the Raptors.
Pascal
Siakam, most improved again.
We gave you a League Pass account.
Do we still have
it? Did we not give you a League Pass account? Yes, we still have a League Pass
account. Man, I'm not watching Brooklyn Nets basketball. I do know that they got rid of a lot of the role guys, and I remember reading that all the guys that they did get rid of were like their highest plus minus guys, and the guys that they kept were not. So that has been an issue for them.
I feel like Kate's watching more basketball games than you this year.
Jared Allen also hasn't been good.
And Kate's busy being a mom.
I have a crying baby.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.